Hi, this is Jason and Mark with Innerman Radio.
A free service to thinkers everywhere, demystifying the Bible by asking the questions your neighborhood pastor is afraid to answer.
Well, Mark, how are you this lovely fine day?
Lovely fun. Jason, if I were any better, I'd be dead.
Hey, wait, we're getting a phone call coming in. We're getting a phone call.
This is not a call-in show.
How is
Who
that possible?
Has that number?
How is that even possible? I'll go ahead and pick it up.
All right.
Hello, Innerman Radio. Hello. Hey, listen, I got an idea for you. This might take a minute, so hear me out, okay? The problem with the world is that it's the world, and bullies out there to bully you around, billionaires to boss you around and tell you have to eat bugs instead of God's food, beef. You know, society's in decay, young people wonder how they're ever going to succeed in life, prices go up, college graduates are flipping hamburgers. You try to stand for traditional principles that used to seem sane, like throughout all history up until about 15 minutes ago. Boys are boys, girls are girls, you're shouted down and made to feel like less than human. And humans are on the path to extinction anyway due to climate change, and I can't figure out if all these newfangled climate policies are supposed to save the human race, because I thought the folks at Davos wanted us dead anyway. Worst of all, they're going for my guns. No wonder why teens stare at their phones all day. 20-somethings just want to escape to the mountains. 30-somethings debate whether they should even have kids. 50-year-old men shake their fists at the sky. Older folks, well, they just check out and enjoy the same jokes they laughed at 20 years ago because they can't remember the punchline. Can you fellas finally do an episode that focuses on today's problems? What we need is a daily update telling us all the things that are insane in this world so that we can then talk about that insanity amongst one another. Hello? You still there? I think the doorbell's ringing. Either that or Jeopardy's playing in the background. Well, gotta go.
Well, thank you.
Ooh.
Thank you for that, Uncle Fillmore.
It was a timely call.
Whew.
Ouch.
There's so much there. You know, with Uncle Fillmore, there's so many layers to all of that.
And layers of rage.
Yeah.
Layers of pent-up frustration.
It's hard to know what to do with that. Guys, be praying for Uncle Fillmore, would you? Okay.
So, yeah, a lot.
Okay.
But although, on the other hand, he makes some valid arguments.
He does. Yeah. He does that. But that's just the thing. There's enough truth to the crazy. But speaking of crazy, we are surrounded by crazy.
It does seem like that. It seems like the world all around us has just lost its ever-loving mind.
Yeah, you don't have to go far for things to stop making sense. I mean, like, not far at all.
Right, and I think people do generally have maybe this feeling that things are not on the upswing.
No, you think things might be that vibe. Kind of going downhill a little bit there. Yeah.
So it's tempting to become one of Fillmore's stereotypes to just fall into that role. You know, the angry middle aged man.
I know nothing about that.
That's right. The escapist 20-something. You know, even the senile grandparents. It would be, you know, checking out has its benefits. By the way, where does Fillmore fit?
I'm not sure. He's somewhere.
Would you say he's the angry middle-aged, or would you say he's more the senile?
I think he's right in the middle. He's straddling that fence.
Right in the middle.
Yeah. The thing is, we can't really control any of those things that are making us angry or disenchanted and feeling outcast or wanting to escape, really, or senility.
No, it comes whether you want it or not.
Although they have supplements for that now, I hear. you could buy these mind-clearing, defog-your-brain supplements, I guess. Anyway.
If there's samples involved.
I can't remember the name.
I'm in. But sometimes there is a little bit of value in just saying those things out loud. It's kind of like, you know, we just live with that ether all around us all the time. The dark cloud is so everywhere that it's hard to pin it down to one place.
Yeah.
And so we've been trying to do that.
We've struggled. I mean, Mark.
I think that should be obvious to the audience by now.
Right. We're going to lay a little bit behind the scenes, like, as if we need to. But this really is where we struggled creating this series. We have, Mark, how many times have we written this episode?
More times than I honestly remember. But we always seem to come back to some cliche bullet points you know, it's some kind of reworking of a motivational poster.
Yeah.
And it should be so much better than that.
It needs to be.
It sounds better in our heads.
Right.
Exactly.
But, until we read it the next week.
We read it the next week and it's like, hey, this is the eagle soaring motivational poster.
Right. Exactly. So again, we'll just cut half the episode out and, you know, shake our heads in our hands and start over until.
Until this time.
Until this time.
That's right.
That's right.
That's
When shall we?
Wait for it. Wait for it. Here it comes.
Might be a little too much on the build-up there.
Yeah.
So we decided we would go with this. This is groundbreaking.
Uh-huh.
You're only going to hear this kind of profound life advice on Innerman Radio.
That's right.
We decided instead of focusing on all those things in the world out there that are outside of our influence, how
Amen.
About focusing mm-hmm. on what we can control? How about that? How about that? Isn't that?
I can hear gasps all over our listening audio. Can you say it? I didn't give you the proper silence uh-huh. while you were announcing. So we're going to focus. Say that again.
We're going to focus on. When does a pregnant pause become an awkward silence?
I think we just went there.
We might have passed that. The things we can control.
Oh, that sounds so cheesy. Mark, that's just so
I know,
cheesy. Really... We're back to the eagle soaring thing again. Oh.
But wait, there's more.
Okay.
if we buy into that,
yes.
then we become, I hate to use, oh. these are, we become the victim mentality. We become,
okay.
we become that life is just happening to us.
That's valid. That's valid because... So often, you know, you get together with your Christian friends and you get to a certain age and pretty soon you start talking uh-huh. about how things bad are out there. Things are gotten so... Did you hear about the news this week? And it's so bad and it's
it
so
is,
bad.
It is bad every week.
It is, but it is tempting to buy into this mindset of all these things are bad are happening to us and around us. And which they could be, but
and that's possible. Yeah.
But the focus, it's the focus that we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Right. So this sounds weird, but, you know, life doesn't just happen to Jason. You happen to life.
Oh.
You life has to deal with you.
Oh, man. Did you just name drop your co-host on Internet Radio?
Yes, I did.
But actually, it's true, though.
It is true. It is true. We have to view ourselves as the influencer rather than the influencee. We have to be the force that changes things. But we have to have a little
yeah,
bit
life.
Of a...
You want a piece of me? You want a piece of me?
Here comes life. Yeah,
okay,
you're going to get a piece. If we focus too largely on the things that are outside of us, and it is hard not to do that. It is not easy to maintain a positive outlook on what I need to get done if I am carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders, a weight which I really cannot bear.
Right. I'm wondering if this wouldn't be a good spot to talk about 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we didn't script that in here, Mark. I'm just dropping this on you because we talked about it. But you know, Paul, he's talking about having this treasure in jars of clay. He's talking about how they're persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. And it sounds like if you read that sentence, you're like, wow, that's really kind of...
Yeah, it's very hopeful. Thank you for that.
Thank you for that, Paul.
Motivational statement.
Right. But there's some nuggets in this passage, though, where Paul does show taking control. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what's been written, I believed and so I spoke. So Paul he's in control of his faith. He's in control of what he believes, and so he's in control, therefore, of what he says, what he speaks, right?
Absolutely. So his circumstances, he may be afflicted, but being crushed is a choice. He may be perplexed by his situation, but he doesn't despair.
Right.
Right? Exactly. So persecuted but not forsaken, the choice on that is his own. Struck down is not something he can control, but choosing to be destroyed is absolutely within his ability to determine, and ours.
Right, and he shows us some purpose here when he says in verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. That's purpose.
Yeah, you know, and apart from his circumstance, in spite of his circumstances.
Right, actually, not even in spite of his circumstances, because of, or so that. Because all of those things really culminate in being able to demonstrate the life of Jesus through us.
Absolutely. He chooses, I'm going to make this happen through whatever it is that the world throws at him, Paul is undeterred in his mindset and in his focus and what he's doing.
So that gives us, in principle, because we zoomed out here and we're talking big picture here when we're talking about Paul, talking about representing Christ in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this bad stuff happening. It's so easy to say, and even cliche sounding, to say we're representing Christ in our fragile bodies here on earth. That's easy to say, but really, it does give us genuine hope that, first of all, there's a purpose for all this going on.
For sure.
And there's a purpose in each one of our lives that we can fulfill for Christ, not just in this circumstance, but because of all this stuff.
And when we start to get a few of those stacked up together, we start to see real success. When we take ownership of the process, I can't believe I used ownership.
Ownership. And process.
Both of them.
Wow.
But if it's ours, if we say, you know what, I claim that, I'm gonna take this, it belongs to me, I choose what I'm going to do with it, and we start adding a little bit to that as we go, it really does start to change one area of our life that overflows into other areas that we can affect.
Yeah, so we live in times that many people would say stink, right? Okay, so
it's the best of times and the worst of times.
Yes.
Really, I mean, that's so true.
Yeah.
Like, we have tremendous opportunities, but we also have tremendous, it could go equally bad.
Right, but it's the bad that gives us the opportunities. And for our own individual lives, there's a reason why God put us here at this particular time in the midst of all this badness, right? So what is that I can do to leverage the bad?
Did you say leverage?
I just said leverage.
What have I got?
Leverage.
What's in my space, okay? Who am I the boss of?
You ain't the boss of me.
No, that's true. Despite my best efforts. The only guy that I really can control, and him with some difficulty, is myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the boss of me. And so when the Lord looks at, okay, Mark, did you do a good job? He's not going to hold me accountable for the direction of my nation, not count me accountable for the direction of my state. What he is going to hold me accountable for is the direction of myself. What did I do with the things I was given? Now, maybe I have opportunity to affect things at that level, but but ultimately, what I have to be responsible for is what God gave to me, and that's me. So Luke 16 brings out a tremendous principle in verse 11. Jesus said, "He who is faithful in a little thing will be faithful with much." I think lots of times people get discouraged because I can't affect much, mm-hmm. my small changes are therefore without value.
Right.
I can't do the big thing, so
why
what's
try?
The point? Yeah, that's exactly.
Right.
It's never going to make any difference. I'm not going to make the big change. And that's wrong thinking. And the point, of course, is the little things matter. And so whether it seems like a little thing or a big thing, it doesn't really matter. God gave it to you, and it's your responsibility to fulfill that that role, whether it appears large or small. It's similar, you know, like the talents parable in Matthew 25, mm-hmm. where Jesus describes the landowner. He gives differing number of talents, 5, 2, and 1, to his slaves respectively, and then they operate with the talents that they've been given. But he doesn't ask the same of the slave who received the single talent as he expects of the slave who received the 5 talents.
Similar to Matthew 7, when Jesus is talking about judging others, you know, versus worrying about yourself. Remove the plank from your own eye before you start worrying about everybody else's problems.
Yeah, right.
And it's not to say that our problems are bigger than everybody else's anyway. Oh, there's some big problems out there.
Yeah.
But really, worry about ours. So what can I do to achieve what God wants me to achieve in my life in the time that I have?
Sure. There's a lot of things that we can't control, and we don't, and that's crazy. But there are a lot of things that we can.
We've spoken in broad terms, very broad strokes. Let's focus on one thing, though, that we can control.
All right.
One thing at a time.
Time.
It's too short of time. Time. Waste of time. Wait a minute. Let's just take a little time. Time is ticking away. 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 Time
So if you're gonna claim your time, if you're gonna be responsible and a good steward of your time.
Well, first of all, name it and claim it. You gotta name it and claim it, baby.
So bad.
But it's true, isn't
it? It's a good thing we don't charge for these episodes because we would have to refund this one. You do have to determine what is yours. And time, your time, belongs to you. You have to be the one who makes the decision of how your time is going to be spent.
Yeah, I woke up late because the alarm clock didn't go off when I thought I had set it for. And then when I got to the office, I got pulled into a meeting from the boss, and then I wasn't able to get the project done because of that unplanned meeting. And then when I got out of there, traffic was terrible, and so I was late picking up the kids. I was late picking up the kids, I got home and dinner wasn't ready on time because of the fact that I was late picking up the kids. Yeah. And I got a phone call from my Aunt Betty, Aunt Betty talked about this. The other thing, and then pretty soon, and then by the time the night's done, I didn't hit any of the goals I wanted to hit when it was all done, and it's not my fault.
Right. You know what? And I would almost believe that if it only happened once. But the problem is the people who make those sorts of excuses, that's not a one-time thing. That's the rule. That's not the exception. And if that's your rule, then the problem is with you. It's not with the outside. It's not traffic. It's not the boss. That's an issue of prioritization and not claiming your own time. You might even say that when it comes to time, you have to mark out your own territory. Like, it's mine. I own it. And if you want some of it, you have to ask.
So, okay. I like the principle.
Mm-hmm. I feel another shoe about to fall.
That's great in principle, but for folks who are repeatedly living the scenario I just painted,
sure.
What does that look like for somebody? It's one thing to say, reclaim your time and own it. And okay, great, great time, Mr. Time Manager. But what's the first step there to reclaim your time? Let's connect this back to the verses we were looking at too, because remember, we're talking about being stewards of what God's given us.
Yeah.
And that includes our seconds and minutes. And so if we can be good stewards of those things, then we're not necessarily as focused on all the stuff happening out there if we're worried about claiming our time.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that you brought up that's super pivotal in order to do this is in order to prioritize appropriately, you're going to have a purpose.
Right.
You're going to have some kind of goal in mind. Otherwise, you can't set priorities.
Yeah, I don't know if we mentioned that in the episode yet. I think that was maybe in some of our talking before we started recording. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that for a second.
But without that, you can't set priorities. How do I know whether to do A or B if I don't know where I'm headed? And again, that's a really general principle. So when it comes to fleshing that out into practice, you've got to spend a little bit of time. And I would encourage you to do this with someone out loud, because it's really easy to speak, you know, to talk in your own head and just get a lot of uh-huhs and yes. Uh-huh. And,
yeah.
But if you have to say it out loud, say it to somebody who'll be a good sounding board for you. Okay, well, what am I trying to accomplish? What do I want to get? What are my important goals? You know, ideally, if you have a husband or a wife, they'd be a really good person to run this by. Like, what are we trying to do together? And how can we be more effective at doing this thing? What are the things that eat up our time? What are our boundaries that often get pushed so that, you know, so the important things don't get done, and we ended up doing just the urgent things instead of the things that really mattered to us today.
Where am I at in life? What season am I in? You know, so because that's going to determine what I want to get accomplished. Say I'm towards the if I'm in the fall.
Okay.
If I'm in the fall, right?
Right. Yes, the fall.
The fall.
Let's say autumn.
Autumn.
In the autumn.
That would mean I'm not a spring chicken. Right, so
very true.
But the spring chicken might have different goals in life. Oh my goodness, we've gotten really.
You got to leave that in the episode. Yeah, if we have kind of an idea of where we're headed, we should be able to set some priorities. Do that out loud. Do it with somebody that you can bounce some ideas off of, and then this is the hard part. You have to force your priorities onto your schedule, and that usually means somebody's not getting something. If we're going to do these things, not those things, those things are going to get angry.
Right.
And they're not going to like it. But the alternative is to allow someone or something else to set your schedule and therefore your priorities for you. And that's unacceptable.
Right. So let's say that you've got a goal on making disciples. You've got 3 or 4 studies going on. But 2 of those studies are... you're spinning the wheels a lot.
Oh,
and they love you're
yes.
chewing the fat. You're having a great time. You're building relationships.
Yeah, relationship.
But
it's not going anywhere.
It's not going anywhere. And so that's where those hard decisions come in. Is this the best use of my time?
For a lot of people, that is a hard decision to make because they've been so accustomed to thinking that nice people allow other people to set their schedules. That it's very difficult for them to push back and say, no, I can't do this. Sometimes just don't think of it in these terms. But I mean, if this is a job and you've got to make X amount of income for the month and you know, you're selling widgets on the street corner, there are things you cannot do.
Right.
I'm sorry, I would love to help you move, but I've got to be selling widgets. That prioritization sometimes is difficult for people, but it's got to be done.
Right.
And spiritually, it's even more important than it is on the physical side.
Sure. Sometimes it might be a phone call from somebody and they want to tell you all their problems. And you feel important and you feel really good that they would trust you with all of their problems. Well, this might be for the newbie, right? Mark, after a certain point, you're like, oh, here's another one. Okay. But it can make you feel really good, like, oh, I'm really being helpful. They really trust me. Are you really helping? And is this the best use of your time? So analyzing all of that, or even other things that, and this might be tough, you know, because I'm sure this is really important, is getting on Facebook and scrolling through the feed really the best use of my time? And I know it probably is.
I'm sure it is. So here's a good example of that, right? Remember when the guy shows up and he says to Jesus, hey, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.
Yeah.
Well,
Jesus hopped right on and said,
he did, because
I want to be helpful.
Absolutely. I'm going to help this dude out. And clearly he needs someone with some wisdom to handle this. And they're probably going to screw it up if I don't get involved. And it might not be fair if I don't take this case on. But Jesus does not decide to get involved in family law. He says, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? That's a nice way. That's the Bible way of saying, this ain't my department. Sorry, no can do. I'm not going to go there. You're on your own.
Right.
Now, I'm sure he didn't like that.
He didn't say it that way. He said it the Bible way.
Did he say it the Bible way?
He did.
Because I think the guy probably heard it the other way. Like,
he might
what do you mean this ain't your department? Right. But I'm sure he was disappointed by that, right? Yeah. He came to Jesus. Come on, Jesus, you're supposed to help me out. Jesus said, no, I'm not, actually.
Yeah.
No, that's not my job. So first thing, get those priorities set in your own mind so you can begin to determine how to make those decisions. Here's a second one. This is a fun little exercise for you. You're a pretty handy guy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. They don't find me handsome.
I was about to say that. Yeah, you're pretty handy. What if, and play this game with yourself, all right? So how much, if your employer paid you what you were really worth, okay, not the peanuts that he's paying you now, but if your employer actually paid you for your talents, abilities, your personality, your strengths, if he took all that into account and he paid you everything you were worth, what would that number be? Audience, this is the time for you to think of that number.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So we'll give you a little while to think of that. Is $15 an hour? Is that more than what you deserve? Are you a 20? Are we a 30? Are you a 50? I mean, realistically, what should your talents command in the economic marketplace?
It depends on the value you add.
Now, let's say that you're going to employ you at that rate for 8 hours tomorrow. So let's say you put a $20 an hour time stamp on your value. Okay, so if you're going to employ yourself for for 8 hours tomorrow, you're going to have to shell out $160, right?
Ooh.
You're like, well, oh, wow. But if you were going to pay that to you, if you were going to work for yourself tomorrow and you had to cough up the $160, what would you want to get for that $160? I think that's a great way to consider, how do I spend my time? Man, if I had to pay me what is a reasonable wage for my talents, my abilities, what would I want to get for that? You know, the Lord's in that position every day, right? He gave us those talents. He gave us those abilities. And now it's time to make use of those. It's time to redeem those for something of value. And the Lord wants to get a return on his investment. And we should be thinking in those terms. I need to get at least $160 worth of value out of today, whether it's in my productivity in this area, that area, or the other area. You got to build in some time for some downtime. You got to, I mean, all those things, but your time is valuable. Your time's worth it. Don't waste it.
What does that look like? I mean, when you're appraising your time and you're employing you.
Yeah.
So we're going to use another business word here. We're going to talk about leveraging your time.
Love leveraging.
Yeah, leveraging. It's when you're taking the tire off the car, uh-huh. You're taking the wheel off, you got uh-huh. a flat tire,
uh-huh.
and you get a really long-handled uh-huh. wrench versus uh-huh. a short one,
uh-huh.
and it's easier uh-huh. to turn because uh-huh. that handle gives you more leverage.
Oh, mind blown.
I know, that was right. Amazing. See, only on Inner Man Radio. All right, so we're talking about leveraging, but we're going to leverage a tool. We're going to leverage the calendar app.
The calendar app.
Yeah, because that's different than a to-do list. So,
ooh, don't like to-do lists.
I love making lists, but the problem with making lists mm-hmm. is you're just making lots of lists.
Yes.
They need to find a place and time on your calendar,
mm-hmm.
because now all of a sudden you're appraising your time. How much do I have? How many hours do I have on this day?
Where does this thing have to go?
When you start visualizing, okay, I'm putting this task at this hour, I'm yeah. putting that task on that half hour. Now you're seeing how your time is being carved up. You're seeing it and you're thinking, oh, I'm not so sure I want to spend that much time on that one. I'm going to move that one over here because I'm trying to accomplish this big thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
but I don't know if this stack of stuff that I've got thrown on my calendar here is really going to get me there.
Yeah, a to-do list makes it seem like you have endless time.
Right.
Like, in a perfect world, I would have an infinite amount of time. I could do all these things, but that ain't going to happen.
No.
Right? I've only got, Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in the day? So that's what you got to work with. Everybody's got the same hours. So how are you going to use them? And you, the calendar apps are tough because you can't put two things over top of each other. Right?
But can you multitask? Do four things at once?
I'm not very good at that.
I'm
more
either.
Like a bullet point. Yeah. Kind of a tasker, but
yeah.
But you got to choose, right? It forces you. Okay, I'm not doing this, so I got to be doing that. It's one of those things, and then it's putting it into practice, and that's a habit that has to be built over time. Timeless humor on Inner Man Radio, and we'll see you next time on Inner Man Radio.
Mark, I think that was good work.
It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Me
that's
too.
For sure.
Don't tell anybody, but that came out okay.
Much better.
Yeah, thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, you can be sure to never miss an episode by visiting innermanradio.org or get automatic notifications on your phone with the Inner Man Radio app. It's available on Google Play or Apple stores.